It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Red Sox start the season with a win, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We are going to get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. And among the things that we will go over is what Mike Vrabel said about Stephon Diggs. And I think it seems like he will say hello to you here in New England today during a press conference at 2:15. Down at Gillette Stadium, and I would assume that we may have. Oh, can we have? What's game time today, Curtis? Can we have that live here today?
Oh, game time's tonight, 8 o'clock okay. Central. All right. Excellent. Or 8 o'clock here, 7 o'clock
okay.
Central.
All right. So they said it coming up in about 15 minutes or so, but we have leads that remain this morning, including one from Courtney.
Good morning, everybody. I'm with Curtis. Yesterday was great. And before I do my lead, I do want to say this is not a negative lead. I understand the Red Sox won yesterday. It's just a warning. I already said it this morning, but watching Rafael Devers out there yesterday, to me, seems like something may be going on internally. Now, Wiggy brought up at the beginning of the show, Will Middlebrook said to us yesterday that it takes a bit for hitters to get into the groove of things. If you go back to Devers and his season opener last year, he homered and doubled in the season opener against Seattle. I just think that there's been so much talk surrounding him, third base, DH. And while, yes, it seems like Alex Cora massaged him into being okay with the DH position, I do think that ego-wise, it may have taken a blow. And so just something to look out for when you compare how he started the season last year to how he started the season this year, how he's starting the season this year, worries me a bit. I hope he figures it out. I'm a Rafael Devers fan. I want him to be good.
Yeah.
But that's something that I would keep an eye out if I'm a Red Sox fan.
Well, the man is being paid $30 billion. So
yes.
Could he get over it?
I would.
I certainly would. For the good of the team, could he get over it?
But if you feel disconnected, that takes some getting used to.
Yes, Wiggy, you agree. Like
I'm on the same page with Courtney. Like, this is something that we're going to continually watch. If this is something that, you know, persists in, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, you got to start asking the question. And the only reason why is because we finally got some great insight from Will Middlebrooks, who said when you DH, at times you feel disengaged from the game. And so
and from the team.
And from the team. So maybe, you know, that's why he fought so hard to want to be on the field.
So, very true. Great points, Courtney. This could be an issue, and I don't think it's a negative lead at all. I think it's an honest one. If playing the field helped him get engaged and hit, why did he refuse to play all spring training? Why did he not play a single game while playing third base at spring training?
Well, because he was hurt. That's what they were saying. He wasn't fully healthy.
His feelings were hurt.
They didn't specify.
He could have gone to Mexico. It's a beautiful country.
He probably knew it was a dog and pony show.
But if it helps him hit, why wouldn't he do it?
No,
what
because
do you mean, dog and pony show.
Him playing the field in spring training is like he knows that Bregman is the guy that they're going to play there.
But I'm not
so
talking
me
about
doing
that.
It.
If it makes him a better hitter, doesn't it help his argument if he hits better when he's playing?
No.
Field?
But Courtney's. But if we're talking about the regular, you're talking
yes,
about the regular,
regular season. And yeah. I'm already seeing people on Twitch. He barely got any swings in spring training. I don't know. We were there and he was very active. Huh? You know, I'm sorry you didn't see him much in actual games, but he was out there.
It's
so
something to keep. I do agree with something to keep your eye on. I'm not concerned.
That was the only negative takeaway I took from yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so I do think it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Courtney, thank you very
much. Thank you.
Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So my lead is this, and I heard Chime say this earlier, and I had been thinking about it. The Patriots should move up to number two to secure the fact that they could take Abdul Carter, because what Abdul Carter means, you already have your quarterback, you already have your franchise quarterback, you have your franchise cornerback in Christian Gonzalez, and now the potential to add your franchise edge rusher, elite pass rusher to this team could really take this Patriots team to the next level when you're talking about the building blocks of what this Patriots team would look like in the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. And if you're New England, he's the one guy that I don't know what Travis Hunter is. I think it's a roll of the dice. But I do believe with a guy like Abdul Carter, because he's played that position, you know the position he's going to play. He has that Micah Parsons type of body measurables that potentially could be the guy he could eventually turn into. It would behoove you to make that move.
What does it cost you to move up?
Sean, what would it cost you to move up 2 slots?
My guess is a 3rd-round pick, that Matt Judon pick you got from the Falcons.
All right, I would give that Matt Judon pick to secure the bag in the sense that I know that if he pans out, I am going to have the cornerstone of your football team positionally wrapped up 3 out of the 4 positions, because I think the elite wide receiver is the other position, but there's nobody at that level.
But what if you're Mike Vrabel and you are so sold on the kind of athlete that Travis Hunter is and that he is going to be your wide receiver of the future? Then you're going to be stuck. You know, you're not going to get him. You have the Diggs deal. The Patriots have an out on the Diggs deal I saw yesterday after one season. Is that bothersome to anybody, or you feel like that's good for the New England?
That's kind of what we expected when Wiggy was like, it's a 2-year, $26 million deal. It's more like a 1-year, $26 million deal with like 2 years of options.
It removes anybody from saying that he could hurt the organization, because they literally can leave after one season.
Yep. It protects them every way possible. I see, if those two guys were sitting there, Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, the best player would be Abdul Carter. So
even with the foot.
Yeah, I mean, even with the foot injury, they're not saying that the foot injury is going to be something that affects him, you know, moving forward. It's just saying that it's an injury he dealt with, he got it taken care of. But when you look at those two players, if they're both on the board, and no, I know they won't, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, Abdul Carter is the better of those two players.
But why would this organization not use a 3rd-round pick to bring in a known commodity because we think they're stockpiling them, and then trade it just to go up 2 spots for someone we don't know about?
Fair point.
That is a good point.
Definitely should have traded for DK Metcalf and used that 3rd-round.
I don't know what this team is doing when it comes to trading guys, trading picks for known commodities. I have no idea what Vrabel's doing. I know that already added a veteran in Steph Diggs that is, you know, not going to be available at the beginning of the season.
Okay, Wiggy, thank you very much.
You got it, brother.
We spoke yesterday a bit about LeBron James and his Pat McAfee interview, in which he complained about the way the NBA is covered, bemoaning the fact that he believes that the coverage has gotten away from the essence of the sport of basketball. And so, before I share my thoughts on those comments from the King, I thought I would share what Perk said about what LeBron James said about the coverage of basketball.
LeBron James needs to stop. He needs to stop. I'm so sick of him with this, oh, how the league is covered, because he wanted to be covered a certain way that he wants it to be covered. The problem that I have is, one, everything that comes out of LeBron James' mouth ain't the damn gospel. Number two, we're in 2025. It's a different era. Damn it, you have to adjust. The coverage of the NBA, in my opinion, has been the same since I've arrived in the NBA, since I grew up as a youngster watching the NBA. Magic Johnson, was he not criticized? Kobe Bryant, was he not criticized? Michael Jordan, was he not criticized? In today's game, these players are so sensitive.
I could not agree more with Perk. You are LeBron James. Everybody, everybody has you top three all time. I think in the NBA,
Perk has a number one.
You've made millions and millions of dollars, and you are not entitled because of those things to control how the media talks about you and how fans talk about you. Suck it up, Buttercup.
Yeah, you got to suck that up.
The coverage is no different than it was. Watching Celtic City, people have been criticized who play in the NBA based on things that they do away from the game during most of the last 20 years. So
there is no bigger collection of fanboys than those that cover the NBA. It is basically Chris Farley with McCartney on SNL. I mean, yes, there are some that are critical, but they only seem critical because everyone else is just kissing their ass.
Yeah, I think the critical part of the player you're judging on him is his performance and his play. I think as far as you brought up away from the game, I think the coverage is different in that sense because of social media and technology. Guys like Bird could go out and get blasted at a bar or McHale and those guys, and nobody would care because, unless you were there, you wouldn't really know about it. Like, if a guy goes out nowadays, he's instantly going to be put all over social media, and then he'll be dragged in the media for how his performance is based on because they'll say, he was out.
Yeah, well, that's fair. People are paying a fortune to go to these games. And so they expect that the athlete is going to be held accountable when it comes to his performance.
Yeah, but hold him accountable for his play. Are we talking about the play?
You just said that they're criticizing guys because they go out and they don't play well.
No, you said they should be held accountable for what they do on and off the court.
On and off, because I think that's part of what he's whining about. I mean, he's the king of the flop. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's in the game. I got no issues with that.
People are going to criticize you. Yeah. This all comes from being butthurt about Stephen A. Smith daring to suggest that what LeBron did with Bronny by forcing him into the NBA before he may have been ready for it was the wrong thing for a dad to do. And so,
well, but that's not... You see, because now Stephen A. Smith, it all stems from that. Stephen A. Smith is not judging Bronny as a player. He's not judging Bronny as, he's not ready, he's not performable, because guess what? There are a bunch of draft picks this year that aren't playing well. Stephen A. Smith went right to LeBron and basically said, as a father, what you're doing to your son is wrong. And as somebody who's in this business, you don't do that. You're criticizing him on the way he raises his kid.
He's criticizing him on nepotism.
He's not critical. Greg, did you hear what he said?
Yes, and I heard.
He said, this is what he said. You and I will never see it. If somebody said, Greg, what the as a father, what you're doing to Breece is wrong. Because maybe you helped him in his career or whatever. You should do better. As somebody who has two daughters, and this is what Stephen A. Smith said, you are doing your son wrong. So he's questioning you as a dad on how you raise your
okay,
kid. If
no,
you feel I, like you're not going to be upset about that,
Bree,
then I don't know
Wiggy,
how you view the way you raise your
Wiggy,
kid.
No offense to Breece, because I love him and he listens to the show every day. But if I somehow got him placed as a rocket scientist over at NASA, then I feel like I might be criticized for that.
He's not ready.
He was responsible for why those astronauts got stuck in space.
He's not ready for that job.
With all due respect, Greg, I think Breece could be smarter than Patricia, and he's a rocket scientist.
I mean, Greg. I would feel the same way if somebody tried to come at me for the way that I was as a father.
So it's cool to hold a whole franchise hostage by forcing them to draft your kid.
No, if you have that type of...
And nobody can criticize that.
But no, if you have that type of juice, just like Bill Belichick has the type of juice to give his kid the defensive coordinator
position. Anyone would do it.
Right, anybody could do it.
The way that I would react if I were LeBron, and I would say, Stephen A., why are you talking about me? Why aren't you ripping the owner of the team whose daddy bought it?
Yeah.
That would be the best recourse, and maybe not the smartest thing if she's one that's your boss, but, you know, you could easily say, you know, Stephen A., you're ripping me, that's fine, I'm a big guy, but, like, why do you rip the fact that 28 of the 30 teams were all handed down from their parents?
Just criticize Bronny, that's all you gotta do.
All right, well, those are our leads. Coming up, we'll get to They Said It, quick back and forth on what they said yesterday, and here is Courtney now with what is trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox start the 2025 season with a win, 5-2, the final in Dallas. Wilyer Abreu had the first homer of the season for Boston and ended the game with a three-run shot that got the Sox the win. Garrett Crochet went five innings in his Red Sox debut. He gave up two runs on five hits while striking out four. The Sox stay in Texas to take on the Rangers once again. Tanner Houck will take the mound for the Sox. First pitch is at 8:05. You can listen to the game right here on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. It kicks off with Christian Arcan on the MassMutual pregame show at 7:05. And where did it go? Kenna texted me to tell us that Jones and Keefe are at Polar Park today, 10-2 for the Woo Sox home opener. Marcelo Meyer will join them at 11:10.
Ooh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
March Madness saw no upsets yesterday, so on to today. Ole Miss taking on Michigan State. Kentucky has Tennessee. Michigan and Auburn face off, as do Purdue and Houston. And the NCAA hockey tournament kicked off yesterday. We saw all the New England teams stay alive. BU beat Ohio State. Western Michigan beat Minnesota State. Michigan State fell to Cornell. And Minnesota fell to UMass in overtime. Today, we've got BC taking on Bentley at 2. You can listen to that game right here. Or not right here, but EEI. AM 850. Go Eagles.
Yeah,
At 5, we have UConn and Quinnipiac. 5:30, Providence takes on Denver. And at 8:30, it's Maine and Penn State.
And I believe, Curtis, Polar Park was an original roadshow location. Am I right about that?
Sure was.
4 years ago?
Oh, gee. Yeah. That was I think it was 15 degrees in the morning.
It was freezing.
It was very cold.
My favorite experience at Polar Park was Larry Lucchino, God rest his soul, before he passed, so engaged with demanding more fans get moved behind home plate late in the game.
Oh, like, yes.
That guy was one of one.
Well, the roadshow schedule for 2025 will drop on this program on Tuesday. And there are some surprises in there.
Yes, there are.
There's some standby go-tos that we will most likely never go away from. But there are some new cities, new locations, and cannot wait to drop all the information on Tuesday
morning. I have an idea for Odyssey.
Yeah.
Ken Laird creates travel packages for fans that they can purchase.
Ooh.
All right, go. Well, good idea.
That's why in the Twitch chat yesterday, somebody was saying, please get the schedule out because we want to book hotels. So that's why we're coming out with it on Tuesday.
And just a little teaser, at one of them, there's a bonus event.
Yes, there is a bonus event at one of them.
Yep.
So you can turn it into a weekend.
Sure can.
Sorts.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
A mixer?
Yes. Kind of. Yes. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 39 degrees. God bless America. It's going to get out of the 40s today. It'll be 55 this afternoon.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
May I send quickly happy birthday wishes to the grandson of Donnie Three Olives. Donnie Coleman Electric. Donnie Chinese Kid.
Chinese Kid!
His grandson Elias is turning 9. And so happy birthday, Elias. And the two of them are listening to the program right now. So
congrats.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. And this is Jim from Manchester, New Hampshire. Hey, Jim.
Hi, Greg. How you doing?
What's up?
I want to say hi to everyone. No, I was just listening to your thing, and you were talking to Wiggy about Stephen A. Smith, and yeah. I don't know. I can't say what I want to say, but that guy would not be happy if he was getting a free you-know-what, and he's just so negative, you know?
Well,
LeBron would do what your father would do, and God rest my father.
Yeah.
He's a veteran like me, but my dad would do anything he could do to get me to play alongside of him.
Well,
and it's, you know, but Stephen A. Smith, I just always find some negative.
Okay, you don't think if I suddenly out of the blue announced that Brees was hosting the midday show with Rich Keefe, that people would be like, wait a second, like you're putting him into a position that he's going to fail at? Like,
not if Brees was in radio.
I would stick with you, Greg. I've been listening to you since WAAF, okay? I'm 50, yeah. I'm going to be 54 years old here in a few weeks. So I've been listening my whole life.
Yeah.
And
We're old. But yeah, thank you.
Greg, you make it sound like Bronny just was a regular kid, a regular college kid, and Bron was like, all right, come play for the Lakers. No, the kid has been playing basketball. So if Brees was in radio his whole life and had little podcasts and doing other little things, and then you utilize your leverage and power to get him on an afternoon show where he kind of leapfrogged, then we would you would be able to criticize him on how he performs. I wouldn't criticize, oh, I wouldn't say, Greg, you as a father are not doing the right thing by your son, yeah. by you giving him an opportunity. I would just criticize Breece based on how he performed.
You know who yeah. hates this in the media? Chris Sims. God, does he hate this nepotism.
This is Patrick from Rhode Island. Hey, Patrick.
Hi, good morning.
Hey.
I absolutely agree with Wiggy. You know, as a father, it's like you put your kid in a situation to succeed regardless. I mean, nobody criticizes Deion Sanders. Nobody criticizes LaVar Ball. These are guys who utilize what they have to put their kids in the position to succeed.
Okay.
Manning demanded Patrick, that he...
The Mannings, yeah. Pat, your phone kind of stinks, so I'm going to say goodbye, but I get your point.
Yeah.
But certainly Deion Sanders was criticized when he suggested that it would need to be a tandem pick, he and Shador, in order to get his son. He was criticized for that.
If I were LeBron, honestly, the best comeback on ESPN would have been to say, Stephen A., you've been at ESPN for 20 years. Where were you when Mike Golick's son was on Mike and Mike in the Morning, hosting a national radio show?
Mike Jr. does a great job, though.
This has nothing to do with ability. It has to do with what the impression is. We don't know what Bronny will be in 2 years.
Like, Bronny right now is not very good. Like, judge that. He's not very good, especially when he plays in the NBA. You could tell he's not ready for the NBA. He's not a good basketball player when it comes to playing in the NBA. His field goal percentage isn't good. He looks like he struggles as a shooter. He looks like he's lost out there as a player. Criticize that. I got no problem with that.
Wiggy, a texter says it's not doing Bronny any favors. It is putting him in a position to fail. That's what the argument is, and that's what some think about it.
No, I think what it's doing is putting Bronny in the position that a lot of, I would say, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of young men would love to have, and that's an opportunity to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
Now it's we judge him off of that.
Okay.
It's Stephen A. Smith. Once you start talking about, and you know this, and Curtis now knows it, once you start talking about somebody's parenting skills or, like, how you raise your kid, that's just the slippery slope. You don't go down that road.
All right, Sean, we got to get to this.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. Where would you like to begin, Sean?
Well, Greg, let's begin with the head coach of the New England Patriots, your buddy Mike Vrabel. He was on the Green Lights podcast, the Chris Long podcast, and he talked about Stephon Diggs and what Stephon Diggs brings to the New England Patriots. Here was Coach Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, just trying to make sure that we're supporting Drake and supporting the football team. And again, this is a highly competitive, confident receiver that's produced throughout his career in multiple ways, play style, right? He's got a play strength to him. Right, that you see that he can play physical, you know, route craft, good at the catch point, has been good in the red zone, right? That there's a play style to him that I've always appreciated and that we want to, you know, continue to enhance and make sure that he's doing things to help us. But it's just his conversation, his demeanor, his attitude and his presence have been, you know, great through our conversations, and you know, hopefully we can continue to add good players.
Route craft.
All right.
Matters at the NFL.
Yeah, I think Vrabel, this is a great signing. I know you said that they potentially could be in the market for another free agent. Yeah. I hope they are.
Yeah,
but I'm all for the Steph Diggs.
I mean, the two complaints I get when talking to people is age, and obviously the injury. But I feel like they had him in there for a long time. And they must be comfortable, very comfortable with where he is. Some say he's ahead when it comes to recovery.
Right.
So
and like I said, I think it's more of the, I know there's a way out, But I think it's more of a 2-year deal. I don't know what the exact, like, there's no way they
but
get.
But it's a 2-year deal where he's only going to play half a season
right,
this
but
year.
Yeah, well, it's
so
like
it's a year and a half.
Yeah,
like,
but there's no way they guaranteed him $26 million with the thought process of, like,
he's going to miss half a season.
Oh, no, we're going to get out of it after this year.
Mm.
You know, I think they probably said, all right, we're going to try to
get
it.
Well, they have the opt-out anyway, so,
right.
I mean,
But he's still getting that guaranteed money based on, you know, so they're probably.
The only thing I ask Roger Goodell, I've never asked him for anything, is that the Bills games are later in the year, so we don't have Diggs missing one of those, because I think he's going to dominate.
They generally are, right? At least one of them is.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Shine?
Well, Greg, there are no more double-digit seeds left in March Madness. The last one was eliminated last night. That would have been Arkansas. The 10 seed was eliminated by Texas Tech. The coach of Arkansas, John Calipari, spoke after the game about how rewarding of a season this was.
But I'm going to say it again for everybody. For me, this was as rewarding a year, and I feel like crap right now. But this was as rewarding a year as I've had in all my years. Now, I've had teams that were better and finished better and national champions and all that stuff. This was a different reward, And for me as a coach, we had to adjust and learn, and it was an experience for me to learn. Like, okay, how do I hold them accountable but not bury them? How do I lift them up yet challenge them? How do I make them uncomfortable so they can learn to be comfortable in those situations?
Mm. The old school coaches are back. Calipari, Rick Pitino, you know, good turning programs around.
What about Pitino getting his kid a job? Oh. That really steams me.
Yeah,
well, then he got himself a new job, it seems like.
Richard, his name's being thrown around for Providence.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Rick's son.
Son, really?
Yes.
Interesting. All right, what's next, Shime?
Well, Greg, next we can hear from Alex Cora. Talked about Christian Campbell. There was a funny exchange with Christian Campbell when he was told that he made the roster. They went down to Mexico for those final exhibition games before opening day, and Christian Campbell asked Alex Cora a question that everyone found quite funny.
He's going to get mad at me, but I don't care. When we got to the hotel in Mexico, he asked who was his roommate. yesterday in stretch, everybody was, you know, hey, who's your roommate in this one? And we kept going. And then I met with him last night, you know, talked to him about his routine and what to expect, you know, like, you know, the bus is at 1, show up at 12:50, you know, all that stuff. And then at the end, I say, and by the way, there's no roommates in the big leagues, okay? And he's like, oh, no?
Yes. Like Wiggy, the Major League Baseball players require their own 4-star accommodations when on the road.
I had a roommate when I was in the NFL, especially early in my career.
But now you refuse to stay with anybody else because of the bathroom sitch in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I do it is because I are looking to make sure that I'm taking care of other people's feelings.
Mm.
Because I'm up at night, on the phone, I like to play music.
Oh.
So I don't want to disturb anybody else from maybe, you know, Curtis, he's got a kid, so any sleep he can get,
right.
I bet he's all over it.
Amen.
Courtney talks about she goes to bed early.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be up.
Sleep.
Yeah, I don't want to be bothering people.
Who are you on the phone with all night?
My wife.
Oh, you talk to the missus?
Like, all day long.
That is so cute.
Late night talks.
All day long.
So, that's how you love forever.
Yeah.
No, that's all I talk to her from sun up to sundown.
Yeah. I was surprised when I got this job the first time we traveled that I wasn't like bunking up with Shime or something. My old job, I used to have a roommate.
Oh, God. When can you tell the full story?
No, I can't. Okay. I cannot. I cannot.
Oh, it sounds like a good story there.
Oh,
it's just a hygiene issue.
Yeah, I'm not a good Greg, I'm not a good roommate.
What was the hygiene issue?
Yeah, just some people don't like to shower.
Yeah, that's my point.
Wait, you had a roommate who didn't like to shower?
Like, at all.
Oh, at all. Right. Imagine
5 days. No water. Didn't touch water.
Guy or a gal?
Girl.
Oh, man.
Really?
Yep.
Come on.
Wow, that's disturbing.
That is bad.
How bad did that reek?
I had to go to HR.
Oh. You did?
Damn.
Yeah.
And then they sent me again away with this person, and I had to... send a note to my boss saying it's day six.
Yeah, no shower.
No shower.
You walk into the room, you're like, who ordered the seafood tower?
Oh man. I used to have meetings with my mom before I went on these trips, and she'd say, when you get back to the room, you say, I'm gonna jump in the shower. Do you want to go first?
Oh, you should say, want to jump in with me?
No. I would say, do you want to go first? And so I said that every time. No, it's okay. Go ahead.
How is that possible? That you're a grown ass.
I traveled with like air freshener plugins,
and that you don't know your own stank.
But even if, let's just like say that you don't like to do that at home, when you're sharing a room, wouldn't you go out of your way to at least act like it's something you do every day?
No, because they're so used to the stank, they don't smell it.
Yeah, but to Curtis's point, like, you're with somebody else who doesn't know you like that, so wouldn't you just pretend to go shower or something? Yeah, there was no traveling with a razor, shampoo, body wash.
Some wipes or something. Take a bird bath, I mean, a.k.a. a hoe bath or something.
It was really tough.
All right, what's next?
Greg, next, we'll switch your gears a little bit to the NFL. And Brock Purdy was on a podcast talking about how difficult it is for quarterbacks to actually see the football field. I'm curious if Wiggy has ever played with guys who have said this. But
it's the short kings, obviously.
Yeah, the Purdys, the Kyler Murrays, the Drew Breeses, the Bo Nixes of the world. Here was Brock Purdy and the issues you have seeing over the middle of the field.
So my quarterback coach, Brian Greasy, last couple of years, he and I talked about that. He played 11 years. His dad's Bob Greasy. But we got talking about how really it's 60-40. You can see about 60% of the time, and the other 40%, you really can't. I mean, it doesn't matter how bigger you are.
Right.
I mean, I'm already shorter in stature, yes. But he goes, that's why it's so important when it comes down to knowing coverages, knowing scheme, where our players are supposed to be, how many steps they're breaking, and where the ball should be over a certain backer. Like all those things, man, it matters. And that's why, like, guys, you know, if you go to a combine and all those things, you're just throwing on air, and yeah, you look all good with a strong arm and fast jump and all that stuff. But when it comes down to 11 on 11 and you got guys that are a foot taller than you and you can't see, it comes down to the processing. Like before the play, like I know that the safety is probably going to rotate down. It's going to be one high and I got one hitch, no more than that, to rip it where Debo's supposed to be, like just inside the hash.
Okay. So wait a second. You're telling me that 40% of the time, he is unable to see the wide receiver and the coverage and is just throwing the ball where he knows he needs to throw the football. Do you buy that?
I mean, I buy that he probably it's a little bit easier to see the coverage than the receivers. But I would say that he's probably right about that because unless you're like 8 feet tall, I mean, you're not. It's hard to see over the offense.
Well, that's why long time, Wiggy, the prototypical quarterback was like 6'5", because it was generally a guy that could, or at least have a chance to see over the massive human beings in front of them.
Right, and even them, they couldn't see. Bledsoe was like, you know, 6'5"-ish. That's why it's so important. They always tell quarterbacks, find those throwing lanes.
And Bledsoe was 6'5", but he just stared at Coates. He never looked at any other receiver. God, these.
Anything else, Shime?
No, that'll do it today, Greg.
Okay, they said it. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday. Coming up next, we'll get to Courtney in today's news. And would Wiggy eat it? There is a new ice cream coming. Based on...
I want to try it.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait till the story, but yeah.
Okay.
And a lot of people, Courtney, are asking, was your roommate Dale?
No, and people are saying, name the name. It's not somebody that anybody would know. It's behind the scenes.
It's like a producer or something like that.
All right. We will be right back.
Before I get to the news, I see the Twitch. I see the text. Apparently, Richard Pitino just signed on with Xavier, so not going to be at Providence anymore. Missed that one. Sorry.
That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah, I missed it.
I mean, these things happen rapidly all around you.
Yeah.
It's quick.
The news is breaking, and oftentimes it's... you just miss it.
Right.
It happens.
Yeah.
But let's get to the real news morning.
A shopping cart dispute led to violence in New Hampshire, and now a man is facing a felony charge. Michael Mbwame has been charged with second-degree assault after he and his girlfriend were leaving the grocery store parking lot, loaded up their groceries, left cart in parking lot, did not return the cart to the bay.
That's a douche move.
It is a douche move. Yes.
The biggest ick of all time.
Now, I don't know that you're entitled to get violent over it, But that sounds like what happened. Somebody was pissed that they left it there.
The person that was pissed yelled at them.
Yeah.
That is when he, Michael, ran and punched the guy in the face. Oh. So he left the cart and then got violent. Here's one witness, John Farrington, on WMUR.
Even in the other shopping centers and things, I've never seen any violence like that before. A lot of people are very stressed out and very short-tempered.
Yeah,
so
they are.
I have a question about Ken in the grocery store, because famously he defended people for not returning their carts because if you have a kid, you
he
can't
did?
Yes.
That's not like Ken, I feel.
Yep, I remember it vividly. He's going to, Curtis, you misremember.
Excuse me, social distance, please.
How much time does Ken spend cleaning the cart of any germs before he starts using it?
Well, he always has the hygienic wipes with him in order to clean every surface.
Remember when they first told us to put gloves on at the grocery store?
Yes. He also wipes the doorknobs down before he touches the doorknob. Have you ever seen him do that?
No, yeah. I haven't.
He hates a handshake. So if you see Ken at a roadshow, demand one.
It's a little bit strange.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's very concerned. He remains concerned about pandemics and germs. And I totally understand that.
Yes.
That's why he's the lifeguard.
Yeah. Right.
Is it a douche move? The grocery store reminds me. If you are making your way toward an open spot, parking-wise,
okay,
and somebody zips in from the other direction right in front of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you have the blinker on?
I don't know that I had my blinker on, but it was clear that I was taking my time.
Right.
Going to a spot that was clearly open and wide open. Somebody went around me, behind me, as fast as they possibly could and careened into
that definitely douche move.
I would have blocked them in.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were doing it.
Right.
Like, I wasn't even, I was
getting so unaware of it. Because it would be one thing if they were coming towards you and cut you off, but coming around you, that's a major douche move.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
The man who set fires to Teslas in Las Vegas has been arrested.
Oh, good.
National nightmare over. 36-year-old Paul Kim faces charges in both state and federal court after he was arrested on Wednesday. Here's Clark County Sheriff Kevin McMahill.
It certainly has some of the hallmarks that we might think, you know, the writing on the wall, a potential, you know, political agenda. There's an act of violence. So none of those factors are lost on us.
Yeah, I mean, I always feel like I need to remind these people, you're damaging the private vehicle of somebody who purchased it. You're not doing any damage whatsoever to Elon Musk.
Not at all.
Your arch enemy.
That's just dumb.
It's like I brought up the former candidate for vice president earlier, Tim Walz, who was celebrating the fortuitous drop in the stock price of Tesla, and then realized shortly later that his state's pension fund had invested millions and millions of dollars into Tesla, and it might not be a great thing. It's just a weird thing. Tesla employs 350,000 Americans, gives them jobs. So based on the politics of the guy who owns it, you want those people to all be out of work.
And have you ever looked at all the politics of all the people that own the companies that you wear every day?
It doesn't seem like a very kind, courteous fellow American thing to wish for.
Right. Buy a Tesla and then destroy it. There you go.
Or just don't buy a Tesla.
Correct. Like right. Buy a Kia.
Correct.
People are insane.
Yes.
And my favorite ones of those is when they're in foreign countries and people are screaming death to America while wearing a Nike T-shirt.
Mm. Yeah. My favorite was the guy, the Newton guy, who was at the Mount Washington Resort. And was caught. All these Teslas, they have cameras. So they catch all these people that are scratching them with their keys.
Mm.
And this guy was denying it up and down, left and right to the cops. And then they're like, well, we have the video. And he's like, oh, okay. Ew. Ew. Oops. Lookalike. All right.
Doppelganger.
The cause of death has been determined in the three women from Revere who died while on vacation in Belize. We've talked about this story a few times, but officials in Belize first made it seem like it could have involved drugs, like a drug overdose or fentanyl. The three families have now released a joint statement saying that officials with the United States Embassy in Belize informed them that all of the young women died from acute carbon monoxide poisoning, likely caused by a faulty water heater at the hotel.
This seems to happen more and more when people are traveling internationally.
Yes. Because it's a silent killer, so you have no idea what's going on. Yeah. You just have to trust that the hotel is up to date on carbon monoxide, you know.
It's kind of an irrational fear.
And definitely.
And the maintenance is doing their job to make sure the air conditions are, fixed and up to date properly.
Right.
I guess maybe what you could do, I'm not sure, but you maybe probably now have to travel with
your own detector?
Your own carbon monoxide detector and plug it in your room when you get to the hotel.
That's kind of a good idea.
You know, if you're nervous about it.
I travel with a free app detector, which can tell me which restaurants are doing free apps.
That's why, honestly, when I am on vacation, that's why I always get a room.
Just keeps going.
For you, though, isn't it generally always free apps when you go to a restaurant, Greg?
Good point.
I always pay. Always insist on paying. Sometimes they don't take it, and I get very upset.
But you do what is the important thing, comped.
Do comes after the
Sorry, app. If it's comped, Greg always says, can you charge me for like a Diet Coke so I can tip you?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Oh, thank you for revealing that to the American public. Right.
Well, that's it. Some people don't do that.
Just got a 3-year deal. Like, God, fine.
Some people don't do that.
All right. Can I get back to my life hack?
Yeah.
When you're on vacation, get a room where you have a balcony or you're on the water and you always sleep with the door open.
But that screws up the air conditioning.
You don't need the air condition on. If it's nice and you're right on the water and there's a nice breeze coming in there.
Yeah, I always need the air condition. Well, I don't know if you've ever seen me. I sweat a lot.
In the winter, too.
Right. That's a good hack, especially, if you can find
if you're nervous.
Yeah, if you're worried about that.
All right, we got to take a break.
Okay.
We will get to the rest of the news, including Wiggy Eat It, coming up next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.